This is DW News, and these are our top stories. A US intelligence report says the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi was probably approved by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The report was compiled at the time in 2018, but has only now been released by the Biden administration. The prince has always denied any involvement. Washington has imposed sanctions on dozens of Saudi officials. The European Union has agreed to develop a COVID-19 vaccine passport. The scheme could allow people to start travelling again in time for the summer holiday season. EU leaders agreed in principle on the passport in a drive to coordinate their pandemic planning. Governments are hoping proof of vaccination will help to ease travel restrictions. Gunmen in Nigeria have abducted several hundred schoolgirls from a boarding school in the northern Zamfara state. Witnesses say gangs attacked security guards before taking the girls. Criminal cells have stepped up kidnappings of school pupils to demand ransom payments. Well, you're watching DW News. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter or visit our website, dw.com.
Joe Biden says Saudi Arabia's de facto leader ordered the 2018 killing of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And the Biden White House now says it wants to recalibrate its relationship with its long-standing ally in countering the threat from Iran. Meanwhile, President Biden's first military strike was against Iran-backed militias in Syria as the White House tries to encourage or bully Tehran back into the 2015 nuclear deal. So what is President Biden's plan for the Middle East? I'm Phil Gale in Berlin, and this is The Day.
We've been very clear that the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, it was a horrific crime. Of course, this is a crime that, as I said before, shocked the conscience. I expect that we will be in a position before long to speak to steps to promote accountability going forward for this horrific crime.
Also on the day, the British Supreme Court rules against a woman who was stripped of her citizenship after travelling to Syria to join the so-called Islamic State.
The Supreme Court unanimously allows all of the Home Secretary's appeals and dismisses Ms. Begum's cross-appeal.
Welcome to The Day. Joe Biden described Saudi Arabia, a US ally, as a pariah state. On Thursday, he bypassed the country's de facto ruler, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and spoke directly with the Saudi king. Today, a US intelligence report places the blame for the 2018 murder of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi squarely at Prince Salman's feet. And then there's Iran. President Biden's signals initially were positive, saying that he's open to returning to the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, which Donald Trump walked away from. But that was before Iranian-backed militias fired missiles on US targets in Iraq this month. Well, the US replied last night, bombing Iranian militias in Syria. So we'll cross to Washington for an assessment of Biden's Middle East policy in a second. First, here's U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on those airstrikes in Syria.
We're confident in the target that we went after. We know what we hit. And we're confident that that target was being used by the same Shia militia that conducted the strikes. We're very deliberate about our approach, as you would expect us to be. We allowed and encouraged the Iraqis to investigate and develop intelligence, and that was very helpful to us in refining the target.
All right, so we're going to talk about, we're going to see how much of the Middle East we can cover in the next 7 minutes with Seth Binder, who is an advocacy officer at POMED, the Project on the Middle East Democracy. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Welcome to DW. We'll start with Jamal Khashoggi. And so now we have the Biden administration blaming Saudi Arabia and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for Mr. Khashoggi's murder rather than rogue operatives. President Trump suppressed this highly critical report. Why has Joe Biden released it?
Well, first and foremost, the president released it because it's the law. And thankfully, this president is following the law. This is something that Congress had actually passed, requiring that a report was publicly released. And the Trump administration chose to ignore that. And so the Biden administration is honoring Congress's will and following the law. And so that is sort of first and foremost of why. And then I think also you've seen the Biden administration during the campaign and since taking office stress that they want to reassess the relationship, that they want to have accountability for the murder. And this is one important step, the release of this report. And then I think also, you know, what you've seen today is there were additional sanctions that were added. There was a Khashoggi ban that was put in place. And so specifically Saudis who were involved in the murder have additional ones have now been sanctioned. And Saudis who have been involved in targeting dissidents and journalists have now also been sanctioned.
So as the Biden administration recalculates, as you say, this relationship, what does he want from them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think one of the important things that he wants, and you've actually seen a bit of this, and he's repeatedly emphasized it, is centering human rights at the core of U.S. foreign policy. And so you've seen Lujain al-Hathloul was recently released, and others as well. And so that's certainly one aspect. You've seen an emphasis on Yemen. One of the first decisions made in foreign policy was announcing that the U.S. would end its support for the war. And so it wants to push the Saudis to also end the war and have a ceasefire and have peace. And then, you know, one of the other major areas that the Biden administration is focusing on in the short term in the region is rejoining the nuclear deal. And so they want to work with the Saudis on that, and as well as other regional partners. And I think, you know, one thing to say is they're trying to sort of, the administration is trying to thread a needle here, where they've emphasized that they want to hold the Saudis accountable for the murder. They want to push on human rights. They want to see the Saudis improve on human rights. But at the same time, they've emphasized they want to make sure that they're protecting the Saudis and their sovereignty so that rocket attacks aren't coming from Yemen or other places.
Okay, but
and
that's,
so they're
that's
trying
whole,
to navigate that.
That's quite a navigation, isn't it? That's quite a juggling act. You accuse one of your big allies of orchestrating a murder that you disapprove of, while at the same time saying, help us to help our to counter our common enemy, Iran.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's a difficult challenge. The region has been complicated, and you know, past presidents have had similar challenges in terms of engaging with the region and what are sort of the best strategies and policies to take. And, you know, this sort of seems to be the one that the Biden administration has taken now. I would just say, though, that, you know, in terms of sort of in terms of calling out the Saudis for this murder, I think what this report shows clearly is that there's overwhelming evidence that the Crown Prince and that the Saudi regime are responsible. And so the U.S. should abide by its laws, and they should be calling them out. They should be holding them accountable. And that includes that they should be sanctioning MBS directly.
Let's turn now to the recent U.S. airstrike against Iran-backed militias in Syria. What message was Joe Biden sending with this, his first military action?
I mean, I think you sort of showed, you know, it's a direct response to attacks that happened in Erbil recently. And I think also at the same time, you're seeing this as a response to the Iranians and saying that they want to enter a deal, but they're not going to ignore other actions of Iran-aligned militias and others. They're not going to ignore that. They're going to address those at the same time that they still want to try to get back into a deal.
Okay. Responding to those attacks, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, asked a question which you've sort of partially answered, but we'll put it to you again in just a moment. We'll hear from Mr. Lavrov first.
We want to ask the Americans directly if they allegedly made a decision never to leave Syria at all, even to the point of destroying this country. It is very important for us to understand the United States strategic line on the ground and in the region on the whole.
Two big points there, Seth Binder. The U.S. position on Syria and in the region as a whole. Can you help Sergei Lavrov out?
As you pointed out, I sort of addressed some of these early on. You know, clearly the Biden administration has two, you know, areas of focus initially. The Iran nuclear deal, getting back into the deal, and resolving what's happening, the terrible humanitarian crisis in Yemen. And so they've taken immediate steps to try to address those. And I think, and then the third thing I would say is they've repeatedly emphasized trying to put human rights back into the core of foreign policy. And that, you know, means the region. Those seem to be sort of the three initial areas. But ultimately, this strike and what it demonstrates is that as they see it, the administration isn't going to back down when they feel that U.S. troops and U.S. partners are at threat. They're going to respond.
Okay. Let's talk about the Iran nuclear deal then. Donald Trump insisted that the deal signed when Mr. Biden was vice president is a bad one. How much does Joe Biden agree with him? And would he accept a return to the deal as it stood, or is he also looking for changes?
I think he's been pretty clear during the campaign and since he's taken office that he completely disagrees with former President Trump, that he does want to re-enter the deal. You know, they've made these arguments that they want to, as soon as Iran gets back in alignment with the agreement, they want to re-enter the agreement. Sort of navigating that, you know, who goes first has sort of been the initial early challenge. But clearly they want to get back into the deal. And I think, you know, senior officials in the Biden administration have made it clear that once that happens, then they want to try to address other larger regional issues.
That's very clear. Thank you for joining us, Seth Binder from the Project on Middle East and Democracy.
Thanks.
Human rights organization Amnesty International says it has evidence that Eritrean troops massacred hundreds of people in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region last November. It used witness accounts and satellite images to document the atrocities. The report suggests that Eritrean troops carried out war crimes in their attempts to take control from rebels in the region.
This family got away. They've escaped the fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray region and have found shelter in Sudan. DW News met them back in November when they'd just arrived. We cried and our children cried with us. They wept in front of us. The shooting started while we were eating. We just had to leave. Their home in Ethiopia has seen almost 4 months of fighting between local rebel forces and the Ethiopian military, the latter allegedly receiving support by Eritrean troops. Gaining an accurate picture of events in Tigray has been difficult to impossible. Journalists have been blocked from entering the region, phone and internet services were at times cut completely, and humanitarian organisations have struggled to get in. In early December, UN Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet said there is an urgent need for independent monitoring of the human rights situation in the Tigray region, for all necessary measures to protect civilians and for accountability for violations. That came about 2 weeks too late for this woman and some 800 others in Ethiopia's holy city of Aksum. That's how many people are thought to have died in an alleged massacre near an ancient Orthodox church. A recent investigation by the Associated Press found that the perpetrators were soldiers from neighbouring Eritrea, and a new report by Amnesty International backs this up. The human rights group says it's collected evidence that Eritrean soldiers went on a rampage in Aksum on the 28th of November, after an earlier attack on them by a small group of rebel fighters near St. Mary's Church. Witness accounts describe them roaming the streets and shooting at fleeing civilians.